Hi, welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired, break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today.
There are several things that I hadn't thought of before until Nancy asked me two or three questions. And one threw me completely, which was about how my parents treated me and what impact that may have had on the way I brought up my kids. And that is something I hadn't really thought of. So there was some thought here that I was not anticipating, but I'm glad it happened.
Welcome, everybody, to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. We are continuing a second conversation with Art Fry, who has been so instrumental in developing something that has saved all of our lives, post-it notes. So we've been learning a lot about your history, and I would be negligent if I didn't mention that Priscilla Vang of Payroll Vault is the sponsor for this program. And she opened a franchise in St. Paul, Minnesota, and helps entrepreneurs save time and money. And you can reach her at 1-651-783-5209. And she helps small business owners really help them fix their fine tax solutions and adapt their payroll services to work effectively for the entrepreneur. So call Priscilla today and get connected with her, and you'll find out different ways that you can better serve, get your payroll services needs met. Something like that. Mm-hmm. So how are you, Art?
Well, I'm cool. Yeah, I'm in the salad portion of my life. You know? I'm 86, going to be 87 next month. Life has treated me very well.
Yeah.
Having invented post-it notes is like having invented ice cream. Everybody loves it, you know.
Yeah. And so your doors are open for you all the time.
I don't hear unkind words at all. I hear things like, oh, I couldn't live without them. I couldn't do my work. I'm absolutely addicted to post-it notes, and yeah. I have all the different kinds there are, and people are always telling me how they use them. You know, we never told people how to use them.
Oh.
We just gave them samples, and we found out, I ran a test early on, and I found out if I gave people samples, didn't tell them how to use them, versus another group, I told them how to use them. The group I told how to use didn't use as much as the ones that explored on their own. And they had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah.
And used their own creativity. Everybody is creative to some extent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And allowing them the room to explore their creativity.
Sure.
And it sounds like you've done that your entire life.
Yes. I've got a big creative streak in me because I've got a big curiosity.
Yes.
And the more things you know about, the more novel things you can put together. Because an innovation, we're all pattern seeking people, you know, and we are right-handed or left-handed. We speak a language, which is a pattern of thinking. Mm-hmm. We have laws and regulations. Kids start playing a game, and the first thing they do is set up the rules.
Yeah, right, you know? Exactly.
And we, in a civil society, we have to have rules and regulations so that we can live peacefully together.
Yeah.
And if people don't abide by the rules, they're not a part of society, you know?
Yeah.
And so...
That's the importance of democracy, to keep people with rules and regulations. There's laws, and so people can find justice when people break the laws.
But we also have recipes and standards, and everything are patterns. Well, an innovation is when somebody comes along and presents a new pattern.
Yeah.
And people get so set in their patterns that it is almost impossible sometimes to get a new pattern.
Yeah.
You know, if you've always filed your fingernails with one hand, try doing it with the other and you find out you eventually can do it.
Yeah, right.
But at the beginning, you feel like a bear or not.
That's right. It feels very awkward.
Very awkward. Yeah, right. Yeah.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
Well, you were mentioning off air that you're inducted into the National Hall of Fame.
National Inventors Hall of Fame.
There we go.
Yes, and this was put together by the U.S. Patent Office initially.
Okay.
To honor inventors, because inventors are what allow society to cope with change. So when we can't do things the same old way, or they're terribly inefficient, then we need to find new ways of doing things. Global warming, well, there are inventors that will find ways of solving that if we haven't gone too far.
Yeah.
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 But I believe that humans are so creative that we can find solutions and new patterns for doing things faster than we can get people to change.
And you've been very successful at getting people to change and work with your ideas and sell your ideas. Tell us what your strategies have been.
Well, you have to understand people, that people learn in different rates and in different ways. And so if something doesn't work, don't get angry. Just think, how have I failed in presenting this to them so they can see it as well as I see it in my mind?
Yeah.
And many times when you're doing that, they see it in a different way that, wow, that's a great idea. And so it's a mutual benefit. You know?
Yeah, right. The aha moment is experienced between both people.
So it pays. I've been the expert that people come to for advice. And I've been the supplicant going to people for advice on doing things. Mm-hmm. Well, as the expert, it's one of those 80-20 things where 80% is to their benefit, but 20% is to my benefit because I see things in a different light, and they're doing independent work that I learn from.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, how you mutually kind of respect each other and benefit from your interaction.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we quite finished how you... and Dr. Spencer Silver pulled together the glue and the post-it note combination.
Okay. This whole thing started when I was asked to work on a new products group in the commercial tape laboratory. And there were
at
3M.
Okay.
And this was in the division that made magic tape, among other things. They made some other cats and dogs type tape products, you know, but that had their niche in the market and were profitable, but they didn't sell as nearly as much as magic tape. The division was run by a vice president. And when it got a new vice president, he decided that we needed new products. That what if magic tape, something happened? We couldn't. We got a competitor that could do it as good as we could.
Yeah.
Or the business, you know, raw material suppliers evaporated or what.
Yeah.
We need
to expand the product line.
Yeah. So I was asked to come in along with some other, you know, good people.
Yeah.
And a new technical director. And so we started off looking, and they didn't know what we were going to find. We didn't know what we were going to find, but we start to look. And
was this on your 15% time?
Well, actually, I was fully involved at that time.
Okay.
To go look, and then when doing so, I had one major project at that time. It was for a bookshelf tape that would keep, for library applications, that would keep books from sliding out and falling out of the book.
Oh, yeah.
Well, anyway, on my own, I was singing in a church choir. And a choir that was more interested in quantity than quality, you know.
Okay.
And so...
Probably a little more social then, too.
Yeah. And we would have books with responses and anthems and stuff and lots of different music in one book. And I would mark the page that we were singing that, you know, Sunday with little pieces of paper. Well, one Sunday I'd just gotten up to sing. The paper had fallen out. Everybody else is singing. And I'm trying to find what page I'm on, you know.
Yeah, right.
Most of the world of my life I'm looking, but trying to find what page I'm on. So
most of your life is spent trying to find what page you're on?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was a dull sermon that day. And I got to thinking, how could I make a bookmark that would stick to the paper and not fall out, but that could be removed without damaging the paper?
Right.
Now, all the adhesives in 3M's library of adhesives stuck to paper so tightly that they would tear the paper fibers apart. But what I did think of was some adhesive particles that had been invented by a fellow in Central Research, Dr. Spencer Silver. And I knew that he had created these little particles. They're like little clear marbles.
Yes, we've got a couple pictures here.
Yes. But in the original form, they're just masses of these little spheres.
Okay.
And if you tried to coat them out on a surface and stuck something else on it, sometimes it'd be real sticky, and sometimes it wouldn't be very sticky at all. And when you pull it apart, some would transfer to one surface, and some would transfer to the other surface.
Oh, sure.
And the adhesion would be variable from real sticky to hardly sticky at all. And so most people looked at it and said, you know, it's what can I do with that?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But I got to thinking that... those individual particles were really very sticky. It wasn't a low-tack adhesive. Those particles were very sticky. What if I could control the spacing on them? So the closer they are together, the stickier it would be. The further apart they are, the less sticky they would be.
So would you look at that like through a microscope, or how would you see those little...
Through a microscope.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I could look at it.
Yeah.
And see. But the big problem was how to achieve that spacing. So I tried every type of coating device that 3M had, and none of them was accurate enough to coat on a inaccurate surface like paper.
Oh.
And so I had to invent a new... way to a new coating equipment.
Hmm.
And so I built that myself, and in the lab shop was able to make it. And then a primer to make those spheres stay on the paper. Because if you look at this, these are the paper fibers here.
Yeah.
And then that rough surface that you see on there, that's the primer. And so it both chemically and mechanically holds that particle
that little blob
to the paper. So you've probably never seen a post-it note where the adhesive came off.
No, never.
No. That's quality control, I tell you. Because the first ones did.
Oh.
But I got this idea of using Spence's particles.
Yeah.
And got some samples from him and coated some out, tried them next Wednesday. There were pages that stuck together for years because the adhesive came off. So I had to invent the primer.
Oh.
But that didn't take very long because I had worked on primers to make adhesive bond to tape backings.
Oh.
And I had worked on inks and paints so that they had to adhere to surfaces
yeah.
and not come off. And so I was able to solve that problem pretty quickly, thank heavens.
Yeah.
And then the problem came and I could make samples, you know, so wide and so long in the laboratory. But you might have to sort through 30 samples to get one that worked.
Oh,
yeah.
That's quite a few.
Yeah. And I learned not to show stuff that didn't work to people because you never get a chance for a first impression.
I see.
So if things work the first time you see them, you remember that.
Oh.
And if they don't work, you remember that.
Right,
so,
yeah.
So.
Oh, this is what you mean by, like, keeping your ideas kind of to yourself while you're experimenting.
Tell you work things out.
Yeah. So when you present the prototype, it's a workable prototype.
So I was able to get to the point where I could make workable prototypes
mm-hmm.
and to make them in enough quantity so that people that in 3M
yeah.
could use them.
Yeah.
But there was still a lot of headwind at that time. And it was just me and my technician and my who I helped me one day a week
yeah.
And my supervisor
okay.
who was sold on the project. And we wanted to get to the point where we could run a test sale. And so we needed a team of people with skills in marketing and production and packaging and all these other things that we need to put out a product. Well, market research was done. They hired an outside marketing, hired an outside research firm, market research firm, who looked at it and they said, there's only $750,000 market per year in the United States for a sticky note. Wow. That if that sort of business, they would never look for it, you know.
Yeah.
Look at it. It would be like taking the Queen Mary out for bass fishing, you know.
Okay.
So we didn't believe them. Bob, Melinda, my supervisor, and I just didn't believe them because I was the world supplier of post-it notes, sticky notes, you know?
Yeah.
And I kept track of people's use rates.
Oh.
And if you came to me, I would give you one pad. And then I'd tell you that when you use it up, come back and I'll give you another.
Yeah.
I wouldn't give you two because you might give one away. I wanted to see how much you used.
I see.
And
each
so you come back,
usage.
I would question, you know, how you used it. Was it too sticky or not sticky enough? And what was the application and so forth? And I'd give you another one. People were using between 7, it was a bell curve, and people were using between 7 and 20 pads per year within 3M, the people
oh.
that were giving it to. These same people were using one roll of magic tape. Well, magic tape was the cash cow for the division. And so this other formal market research has said there's just a real puny sales potential.
Yeah.
We were saying it's going to be bigger than the magic tape.
Yeah.
Nobody believed us. You know,
okay.
What do lab guys know about marketing?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Right.
And
yeah.
So we had a succession of three different people, marketing people on the team, who are trying to sink the ship, boring holes below the waterline, you know.
Oh, no.
And we'd push them overboard and get another one come aboard. And so we went through three guys. And then we got a young lady who had been to marketing school. She had sold our line of tapes out in the field. Mm. And so she looked at my figures and the product, and she says, I believe this is going to work.
Oh.
And so she actually angered the marketing director because he didn't, you know.
He couldn't see it.
He couldn't see it.
Yeah.
And he later became a big fan, you know, and helped us. But in the beginning, he was trying to kill the program. Mm. And a lot of people were. So we had to keep going.
Yeah.
And because I was doing it on a 15% project, you know.
One day a week.
They couldn't kill it. Nobody could kill it.
Oh.
So I was getting.
You had the protection then.
So I was getting formally assigned to work on other things. Well, I'd work on other things too, but I could still keep the post program alive.
Oh, that's good. So yeah. How long did it take before you got it ready for market?
Well, I started in 74 during the Christmas season. And by 77, we could make a little, sell a little, test sale. And we did it in four different cities.
Oh.
And so we did it in Tampa, Tulsa, Richmond, Virginia, and Denver. And the store owners, the dealers, office supply dealers, didn't think it would sell. And so we got the bottom shelves, and we would get about this much space. Mm. And they said, don't give us all those colors because I can make it in all different colors.
Was this the size, or which size were you was on
that
the shelf?
That size, and then a 3x5.
Okay.
And then there was a brochure to describe it. Well, sales weren't going very good at all. And so after a year, the program was going to get killed.
Oh, no.
And so I pleaded with our division vice president, don't kill the program until we talk to the people that are using it. See, because our customers were the wholesalers who sold it to the retailers, who sold it to the eventual customers.
I see.
Well, we put a little thing in there, a bounce back card, that said, if you, for the final customer, says if you fill out this information and send it back to us, then we'll send you some free tape and some other things. So,
oh, I see.
So we got.
You sweetened the deal so you could get the feedback.
Yeah, so we get the feedback.
Yeah.
Well, the people were saying, we love this product, you know. So the division vice president took the technical director out into Richmond, Virginia, and talked to people who were buying it. And they said, don't take it off the market. We'll pay more for it.
Oh.
You know, we can't do our work without that, without it. And why weren't there more? Well, we decided that it was a problem with semantics, describing it in words for something that has never been done before.
Oh, okay.
And people just didn't understand it.
Oh.
And so we picked a fifth test sale city, Boise, Idaho.
And how did you come up with the picking of the cities?
Well, in those days, there were so many different programs, new product programs going, and the make a little, sell a little basis, that there were people in 3M that just picked different cities and farmed them out, so we didn't do too much in all in one city,
see.
You know.
Yeah, too concentrated in one area.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Boise, Idaho came up. We went into Boise and took those same brochures and put 10 sheets of post-it notes in them and just handed them out all over Boise, in the offices and hospitals and, you know, every place.
Yeah.
Well, sales took off in Boise. And within 2 weeks, we were selling like crazy. Because on the back it said, you know, what the product was and where to buy it. And so 10 sheets, complete addiction.
That was the number.
Yeah. And so if you have a 50% intent to repurchase on a test sale like that, it's considered a miracle. You know, people throw their papers in the air and they dance on the tables and so forth.
Yeah.
Well, after 6 weeks in Boise, we had 90-some percent intent to repurchase.
Wow.
They'd never seen anything like that before. But it was the product selling itself.
Okay.
Through people, they would look at it and said, oh, I know what I use that for. And they bought a pad. And when they bought a pad, had 100 sheets in it, well, 20 might go out to other people. And they would look at this thing and say, what's that? Huh. And on the back, we'd print. There was a post-it note. And then they would order it themselves. And so it was like a virus.
Okay.
It just took off. So we started selling
it. So you were the one dancing on the table.
Yeah. 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 Well, meanwhile, we were making it with the coating equipment that I had designed that we could apply to a $1 million coater, hang this stuff on it, and make the product. And then to make it in pad form, nobody knew how to do that. We talked to people all over the world. People made pads by jogging the paper.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then they trim one edge and put the glue on the one edge.
Oh.
Well, with the adhesive on, you can't, once it touches, you can't jog it.
Yeah.
So it has to be put down very precisely. And if you look at the edge of a pad, you know, you can't see which edge the adhesive is on.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you pull them off, you'll find that the part line is always just exactly the same.
Yeah.
Because if the part line were further in, say the third or fourth one down, when you go to pull off one, you get four.
Oh, right.
So it would peel at the lowest part line. So it was a degree of precision that nobody knew how to do. And I had an idea for how to do it. And I built a machine in my basement.
Oh.
Had to take the door frame out and in order to get it, because it had to be a certain dimension, you know. and put it in the pilot plant, and it worked right from the start. Now, it wasn't that I was smarter than any other engineers. It's like when you're your own kids, you will do things for them that others won't do.
Yeah.
And you'll find a way to make a success.
Right.
And so we all do that. Our inventions are a part of ourselves, you know, an expression of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we fight so hard to make them successful.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that extra... Yeah. That extra love behind it.
Yeah.
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 Moves it along.
Yeah. Sometimes it can be hard on your family life, though. So,
yeah.
Know, because you go through this period where you're going in 10 directions at the same time and walking into walls thinking about problems and,
right.
and working weekends and late nights.
How did you work your way through it with the family? Because you had how many kids?
Three kids.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it didn't work so well. So my wife wound up taking off.
Oh.
And so...
So you went through a divorce?
Went through a divorce. But it was amicable in that we remained friends and there were a lot of things that she wanted to do in life that she'd been stuck in St. Paul, in the same house, in the same neighborhood. And my job was always changing, something different every 6 weeks, you know. And so she wanted to teach in in Europe and Saudi Arabia and, and San Francisco and New York, and she did those things.
Okay.
So she had a very interesting life as a result.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't begrudge her that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That must have been a hard to come to.
Oh, yeah. 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 But kids turn out really great. And one's an entrepreneur and one's an agronomist. Mm. But
potatoes, huh?
Well, actually,
vegetables and
Being able to grow things. So he was with the big seed company.
Okay.
And then he was with Monsanto, and now he's with a big fertilizer company.
Okay.
Yeah. In charge of sales and developing new products.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
So there was one other thing that we were going to talk about regarding entrepreneurs need to work with entrepreneurs. And entrepreneurs are kind of more autonomous.
The entrepreneur has individual responsibility. They don't have the backing of the big corporation with all the money.
Yeah.
And if they fail, it's out of their pocket.
Yeah.
And often entrepreneurs are serial entrepreneurs. They try a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And they can starve to death for years before they hit on something that works.
Yeah.
But most of them will quit after the first time or two. Others keep on going and finally make a success out of it.
Yeah, they tinker with it long enough, and they're able to cash flow it somehow.
Yes, and how to get money for big projects. So my middle daughter has developed a new washing detergent. For clothing, that is very green. It lifts dirt off without plating detergent out on the fibers.
What's it called?
It's called Pure Turgent. And,
I like the name.
And so it's okayed for the wash water is okayed for putting on your yard or for farm crops, and. People that are allergic to detergents can use hers, and it's going to be, right now you can buy it over Amazon, and she's working on making it in tank car quantities for commercial laundries. And
Are you working with her on that?
Somewhat, yes.
Okay, yeah.
My chemical engineering background.
Yeah, fits perfectly.
Yeah, helps.
Yeah.
But mostly she's doing it on her own. I've got to give her credit.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Cool.
She's figured this out herself.
Yeah.
So.
Well, growing up in a household where you're with someone who's tinkering a lot.
Yeah.
On new ideas, you know, it's catchy.
They say that apple didn't far from the tree. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And last, is there anything else you would like to share in our conversation with suggestions for entrepreneurs, especially how to be successful in a company or how to look for companies that support?
You know, there aren't that many these days.
Yeah.
There are individual small companies where they're very entrepreneurial. And but if you are intent on having the big reward, then you've got to be an entrepreneur. Because a company hires a lot of people to search in all directions. One is successful in bringing back product that supports everybody else.
Yeah, right.
Because everybody is doing good work. They just run into barriers that are unforeseen. And if you knew all the problems you would run into at the beginning, you might never start.
Right.
Because it's just one succession of problems after another that you never counted on.
Yeah, exactly. It's always a surprise.
It's always a surprise, yeah.
Yeah.
Whack-a-mole type problems.
Yeah, exactly.
And, okay. But it's nice having the backing of a big company. all the different skill sets that are available to you.
Yeah.
That you don't have as an individual entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. But you can, as an individual entrepreneur, you can still find people to help you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And if you're a good networker.
Yeah. Even better.
Yeah, even better.
That's right. Yeah. Well, this has been such a delight. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your life experiences.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity.
Good. All right, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, brother from another mother, mon frère. Thank you so much for your work on this as well. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Make the most of your talents and keep experimenting this week.
Do you want to promote your business and grow in your leadership skills? Here are a few ways you can promote your business and get leadership help through We Mentor, Inc. You can be a podcast guest. Challenge yourself to share who you are on air. We'll help you out. Secondly, you can sponsor our podcast program. You can invest a small fee to have you and your company name announced at the beginning and end of one or more shows. The third way that you can promote your business and grow in your leadership skills is you can set up an individual strategy session to do work one-on-one with me, focusing on specific life and leadership issues and skills you want to acquire. Or the fourth way is you can join an entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab. These ELM labs start throughout the year. They are small groups of 5 to 9 business owners who are out to profoundly shift their lives and lead with authenticity. In 2016, I became a registered yoga instructor and mindfulness meditation teacher. I also became certified online with Brené Brown's Brave Leadership and Courage Works courses to learn an effective process of being all in, falling, getting up, and trying again. In turn, I can mentor others in how to dare greatly and rise strong. I feel better equipped to help you forge ahead in these times of great uncertainty. Our Entrepreneurial Leadership and Mentoring Lab process is an integrated approach to leadership development. We do yoga, meditation, and leadership revolution skill setting. Yes, we will help you learn how to strengthen your body, strengthen your mind, and increase your emotional stamina as part of our leadership development process, along with learning about real-world business planning and strategic planning. We do what works. Get involved, get started. You can reach me at 612-804-8920 or go to wementor.com and connect with us. Lastly, if you like our podcast program, help us keep it going. You can donate to our program. Just go to the wementor.com website, click on Buy button, and fill in the donation amount that you would like to contribute. We appreciate any and all contributions. See you next week.